Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and purge away our sins for your name's sake. Almighty and everlasting God, since you govern and sanctify the whole Christian church by your Holy Spirit, hear our prayers for all its members. Mercifully grant that by your grace we may serve you in true faith through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the 8th chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, Let all my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants and your people, and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts, and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, it would not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he tells us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. Then Moses said, behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.
So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them.
He gave their crops to the destroying locusts and the fruit of their labor to the locusts.
He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost.
He gave over their cattle to hail and their flocks to thunderbolts.
He let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels.
He made a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave their lives over to the plague.
He struck down every firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the tents of Ham.
Then he led out his people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock.
He led them in safety so that they were not afraid, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies.
And he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won.
He drove out nations before them, he apportioned them for a possession, and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our texts are the reading from Exodus 8 and the gospel reading you just heard. You may be seated. Where do we see the evidence of God's working in the world? Where do we see signs that God is present and at work? I tend to think of two places. One is God's creation. When you look at the creation, and this is the way St. Paul speaks, it reveals the invisible attributes of God. When we look at the marvel of the creation, this world that is greater than anything that you or I could have made or even conceived of, we can clearly perceive in that beauty and harmony and complexity two things about God. We can see his eternal power, and we also can perceive his divine nature. When we look at what man can make, it's pretty amazing. But then we look outside and we see what God has made, and we see he's not just a being greater than man, but like man, he is on an entirely different level. You might say that if our eyes and ears are open to see it in the creation, we have a fingerprint of God, a mark that he exists. The other place that I think we see the fingerprint of God is inside of us, by which I mean our conscience. You know, the conscience that warns you of what is right and what is wrong
And how often in our life might we perhaps have wished that our conscience would just leave us alone and stop nagging us? And we might even say, why are you there? I didn't ask you to show up. But it's there, imprinted on us, a fingerprint of God, our conscience that teaches us of what is right and what is wrong. These fingerprints of God, Paul says, they remind us that God exists and that we are to worship him. The world, of course, so often misses what these fingerprints indicate. They see the creation, but they do not see the Creator, and so they worship the things of this world. In our reading from Exodus today, from Exodus chapter 8, we see another place where God is at work, and it is through his mighty works, the signs, the wonders, the great acts of judgment, the 10 plagues. Last week we heard the first of those plagues, the water of the Nile River being turned to blood. Today we get 2, 3, and 4, the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, and the plague of flies. Plagues of living things. I can't even begin to conceive of the disease and damage being done to the land of Egypt through these plagues. These swarms of living things, but not like in Genesis 1, when God created the swarms of living things and called them good. Here they are swarms of living things that bring judgment. When I think of it, it's just amazing. The way that the timing of these plagues and the intensity and scope, frogs everywhere you look, frogs in the pots and in the ovens and coming up out of the Nile and in the homes. And when the frogs die, they stink in piles, and then come the gnats. And the gnats in the eyes and in the ears, and they go away, and then come the flies, buzzing and irritating and biting, flies and flies and flies. You might have noticed that the Egyptian magicians are able to do some of the same things. The Egyptian magicians might be able to say, and Pharaoh with them, you think that your God is impressive. You think that there's a fingerprint of your God here. Well, we can do that too. We can turn the water into blood. We can make frogs appear. Our question, of course, is always, how can they do this? Do they have some trick up their sleeve? Or are they perhaps tapped into the powers of darkness, using powers from Satan to mimic what God has done? The amazing thing is that not only can they do this, but they can only do what is evil. Pharaoh doesn't go to the magicians and say, can you clean up the mess that Moses and Aaron made and take the frogs away? They can only make more. They can only add to the problem and make it worse. But you might have noticed in plague number 3 with the gnats, that is the moment when the magicians, trying to cook something up in the basement, finally throw up their hands and say, we can't do it. We've met our match. Did you hear what they said? This is the finger of God. The finger of God. The all-powerful Creator, who is now turning the creation against Egypt. Now they know, and the Lord has promised, that through these plagues, through this Exodus, they will know that the Lord is God. And the Egyptian magicians seem to be putting the pieces together at last. The question, of course, now that they see or begin to see clearly, the question is, will they listen and believe? And you heard how it went with Pharaoh. Plague number 1 happens. The Nile turns to blood, and Pharaoh hardens his heart and will not let the people go. The frogs are heaped in their stinking piles, and your nose is reminding you of this plague every single day. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he will not let the people go. The Egyptian magicians throw up their hands and say, we've met our match. We can't make gnats out of the dust like Moses and Aaron did. And Pharaoh hardens his heart and will not let the people go. And the flies. And the flies, and the flies. and Pharaoh refuses. You begin to pick up the pattern here. Pharaoh's sin and hardness of heart leads to the next plague and oppression. And then a moment comes when Pharaoh often turns and says, "Moses and Aaron, beg and plead for this to stop, and I'll only let you go." And Moses prays for them, and the plague ends, and then it begins all over again. That sin and hardness of heart. It does make us wonder how often we fall into this same pattern as well. I mean, it's not just Pharaoh. Look at the people of Israel when they're wandering in the wilderness or in the time of the judges. They sin, they're oppressed, they plead for help, and they are delivered, and then it happens all over again and again and again. Or you come to Christ himself, when he does his signs and wonders, and still the Jewish leaders refuse to believe. We can't help but ask, and I think it's appropriate in this Lenten season, to say, "Lord, is this us? Are there ways that my heart has grown hard, that I have refused to hear? Are there things when I have pleaded for your help and you have delivered, and then I've simply turned back to my sin again?" This is the finger of God. The finger of God that was laid on Egypt in these 10 plagues, and the finger of God that would inscribe on 2 tablets of stone the 10 commandments. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage," written with the finger of God. And Jesus, in his ministry, when he's accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan, by the power of Beelzebul, Jesus said this. He said, "If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." A warning and a promise that the finger of God is the finger of Jesus himself, and that when he casts out demons, it is by the same power and authority of the one who inscribed the law on the tablets of stone and the one who caused the wonders to happen in Egypt. The kingdom of God has come upon you through the finger of your Lord Jesus Christ. The people and the leaders in particular kept questioning and asking, "Who is this?" And in the reading we heard from Luke chapter 20, Jesus makes clear, not only is he descended from David according to the flesh, but as David predicted, he is also David's Lord. You might say right there we have the confession that he is both true God and true man, who entered into this world, came into the human flesh, so that he might deliver us with a wonder greater than the wonders done in Egypt. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during this Lenten season, we are headed toward Holy Week. We are headed toward our Lord's death and resurrection. What you see when you ponder the cross is you see the finger of God stretched out in judgment over your sin and the devil and death, and stretched out to deliver you. Ponder that mystery. Look upon the cross and confess, "This is the finger of God," so that we might honor and serve him and fear and love and trust in him, the God who delivers us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants, and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer, and who rejoice, and be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy, graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy